This is a map of every county in the United States based on Census Bureau recorded population changes seen over the 3 years between April of 2020, right as the COVID-19 pandemic was getting started, and July of 2023, based on the most recently available data. Based on this map, you can quickly see that the areas of the country that have seen the most significant growth in people this decade have been in places like Washington, Idaho, Western Montana, Utah, the Colorado Front Range, Arizona, the Texas Triangle region, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, the Carolinas, and Northern Virginia. While the areas that have experienced the highest rates of population decline have been California, the Lower Mississippi Basin, especially in Louisiana and Mississippi, Illinois, Upper Appalachia through Eastern Kentucky, West Virginia and Western Pennsylvania, and New York State. But if you pay very close attention to New York State and zoom in a little closer, you'll notice that all five of the counties that make up New York City are deep in the red. And New York City's population losses since 2020 have been so great, combined with the slower but still noticeable losses in upstate New York, that New York State has become the fastest shrinking state in America for the 2020 so far. In the 3 years from April of 2020 to July of 2023, New York State collectively lost an astonishing net of 630,000 of its residents. And it's been estimated by the New York Times that nearly 90% of that population loss in the state has all exclusively come from New York City, which alone has lost more than 550,000 of its total net residents since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic in early 2020, representing a 6.2% decrease in New York City's population in only a 3-year time span. To put the scale of that loss into perspective, New York City has lost about as many people as live in the entire state of Wyoming combined, and only within a 3-year time frame. The scale of this loss from America's biggest city has single-handedly contributed to New York State's title as the fastest shrinking state in the 2020s, both by percentage of loss and by raw numbers of people lost, with the state continuing to lose roughly 0.5% of its total population between the summer of 2022 and the summer of 2023, beating out all 7 of the other states in the country that also experienced population declines over the same time period. The record losses of people in New York this decade have been the worst on record since the 1970s, a half a century ago, while New York City's losses alone over the past 3 years have virtually completely undone all of the city's population gains that were made throughout the entire previous decade during the 2010s. So what the hell has been going on in New York since 2020 that's been causing all of this to happen? Why is the trend of population loss in the city and state still continuing even after the pandemic-era restrictions have largely ended? And what could this trend mean for New York's political power and influence going forward into the next decade? For most of America's history, New York State was the nation's most populous, and because of the way that the U.S. government is set up that awards states as representation in the House of Representatives by population figures, that meant that New York State was also the nation's most politically influential and powerful state for most of the nation's history as well. New York State became America's most populous state at the time of the third nationwide census in 1810, and it continued holding that distinction for the following 1.5 centuries. By the time of the 1940 census, New York had reached its peak influence in the country by the percentage of Americans who lived within the state. Roughly 1 in every 10 Americans across the country were a New Yorker then, and the state dominated the American Congress with 45 total seats in the House of Representatives, or about 10% of the total seats available. But from there, New York's political influence within the country would begin steadily diminishing even as the state's population generally continued growing, because other areas in the country began growing much quicker in the aftermath of the Second World War, especially across the region of the country known as the Sun Belt, after the invention of compact air conditioning was made that made the region's warmer weather more tolerable. As New York State continued to grow, its share of the overall pie of America's total population also began to shrink, and so too did its members that the state sent to Congress. New York lost 2 members of the House in the 1950 census, and it has continued losing members of the House every single decade ever since, including in 2020, when it lost another seat to sink down to only 26 seats still remaining. Based on the state's loss of people since 2020 and continued downward trend, New York now stands at risk of losing another 3 seats in the House by the time the 2030 census rolls around, which could end up resulting in New York's representation in Congress being cut down in half since its peak in 1940. And during this whole time of losing representation, New York eventually even lost its 15-decade streak of remaining America's most populous state sometime in the 1960s to California. Because by the time of the 1970 census, California finally overtook New York's crown as the most populated state. And since then, 2 other states have since overtaken New York's population as well. Texas surpassed New York's population by the time of the 2000 census, and then Florida surpassed New York's population next by 2014, pushing New York down into being America's fourth most populous state ever since. Despite this, though, New York State's population continued a general trend of growth minus a rough period throughout the 1970s where it experienced negative growth, until right about 2020, immediately before the pandemic struck, where the state reached its all-time high population of just over 20.1 million residents. Now, throughout all of this history of New York's demographic trajectory, there were always extremely stark differences between the two regions of New York in upstate and downstate. There's not really any solid definition of where upstate and downstate New York begin at, and trying to come up with one has been the source of countless arguments between New Yorkers for probably the past 200 years, if not even longer. Everybody you ask in New York will tend to have a different definition of where they think this divide begins at. But the one thing that's clear to everybody is that there is a clear cultural, economic, and social divide that exists somewhere within the state. And it can be most clearly seen in maps revealing the state's population density, which is probably the most interesting divide in any state in the country. This is because, despite its appearance as a big continental landmass state, most of New York's population actually live on islands. The geographic extent of Long Island, including the New York City boroughs of Brooklyn and Queens, is densely populated and currently has around 8 million people who live on it, while Manhattan, another island, has about another 1.6 million more people, giving these three islands in New York State a total population today of about 10.1 million people, which is a little more than 51% of New York State's entire statewide population, which weirdly makes New York the only other state in the country besides Hawaii where the majority of its residents live on islands. Extending even further from this, when you add in the Bronx and the nearby New York City counties like Westchester and Rockland, you arrive at the conclusion that roughly two-thirds of New York State's total population lives on just 4% of the state's total land area in the South, while the remaining one-third of the state's population lives across the remaining 96% of the state's land further north. And another clear divide that roughly follows the population divide in the state is the economic divide, with the more heavily populated South concentrated around New York City being significantly wealthier on average than the larger continental interior part of the state. To me, these are the most helpful visualizations of about where upstate and downstate within New York exist at. The very small, very urban, very densely populated, and very rich South that has most of the state's population and wealth, and the very large, mostly rural, very sparsely populated, and more impoverished North that has most of the state's land. Both of these sides of New York State almost function as if they were totally separate states within the same whole, and both have had very different demographic patterns that have existed for decades. While the area of downstate has experienced almost continuous growth throughout most of its history because of the economic engine of New York City and the countless opportunities it has provided to people, upstate experienced a significant boom and bust period across the 20th century. Because the St. Lawrence River historically had a series of rapids just past Montreal, it wasn't able to be used for commercial navigation to the Great Lakes until technology advanced enough to overcome them in the 1950s. So until that point, the completion of the Erie Canal in 1825 from Lake Erie to the Hudson River established the very first navigable waterway route from the Atlantic Ocean into the Great Lakes, which dramatically reduced the cost of shipping goods from west of the Appalachian Mountains to global markets, and it proved to be a huge early geographic advantage for New York State, as no other Atlantic port besides New York City for decades had a fully navigable route into the Great Lakes region. While upstate cities located along the canal like Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, and Albany all benefited from their positions along the new trade route as well, and began rapidly growing themselves. Some historians today have referred to the Erie Canal as America's very first superhighway, and the canal's capacity was significantly expanded even further in the early 20th century between 1905 and 1918, while the expansion of the country's railroad network through the area contributed even further to upstate New York's geographic advantage as a critical trade route along the funnel of trade between all of the Great Lakes and New York City. The corridor along the Erie Canal between cities like Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse steadily evolved into one of America's most significant industrial and manufacturing hubs in the early 20th century as a result, which created tons of jobs in the area and attracted people to relocate to upstate from all across the rest of the country and even the world, which led to a long era of population growth taking place in both upstate and downstate New York alike across the first half of the 20th century. Buffalo itself even ranked among all of America's top 10 largest cities in both 1900 and 1910, And by 1950, the growth in upstate had been so high that the metropolitan area around Buffalo had grown to become nearly the same population as the borough of Queens in New York City, something that's almost completely unthinkable today. But then, upstate's fortunes in particular began to shift dramatically for the worse beginning in the 1950s. The completion of the St. Lawrence Seaway project in 1959 finally transformed the once unnavigable St. Lawrence River into a fully navigable route from the Atlantic into the Great Lakes. And it had a much, much higher capacity for maritime trade than the smaller and earlier Erie Canal had. And so, after its completion, maritime trade routes between the Atlantic and the Great Lakes quickly shifted from the Erie Canal towards the St. Lawrence instead. And at around the same time, President Dwight D. Eisenhower began the construction of America's interstate highway system in 1956 as well. And as it kept getting built out, what little commercial traffic remained on the Erie Canal began struggling to compete with the rise of interstate trucking, too. By 1994, the Erie Canal, which had once been America's most significant artery of trade, saw its final ever regularly scheduled trade hauler end its service for good. And with that, the Erie Canal's long days as a trade route were finally over for good. With the canal's diminishing importance came a diminishing in the city's importance nearby to the canal. And as greater nationwide trends took over as well, like offshoring manufacturing to countries overseas like China, along with deindustrialization and the growth of service sector jobs, especially in nearby New York City, upstate New York entered into a long period of heavy population decline that began in the 1950s and persisted for decades until it only began stabilizing itself in the 2010s. During this time period between 1950 and 2010, Buffalo lost more than half of its peak population that it had back in 1950, while Rochester and Syracuse each lost more than a third of their peak populations as well. All as upstate's population just got completely gutted as opportunities there dried up and droves of people left for opportunities elsewhere, including in New York City and downstate, where the population growth continued to remain strong throughout most of the later 20th century as upstate languished and fell increasingly further behind. The plentiful economic opportunities and amenities in New York City provided by it being one of the entire world's most significant hubs of finance and services, media, the arts, and culture kept its growth going steady and strong. But then, something interesting began happening in the later half of the 2010s that set an omen for what would come later in the 2020s. New York City and downstate's population growth began to get stagnant, and even started showing signs of slight decreases, while upstate's decades-long trend of decline began stabilizing and even reversing with some moderate increases. New York State overall recorded a minor population loss in 2016 of just 0.1%, the state's first loss in population in a decade since 2006. After 2016, the state began recording increasingly higher population decreases year after year in 2017, in 2018, and again in 2019, until the nationwide U.S. Census conducted in 2020 revised New York State's total population to about 20.2 million people. And then, the trend only massively accelerated after the first case of COVID-19 was detected in New York City on the 1st of March, 2020. By the end of that month, there were already more than 30,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in New York City, and the region had already become the worst affected place by the pandemic in the entire country. And the city responded to the disaster with some of the strictest lockdown and social distancing orders in the entire country. Most non-essential businesses like theaters, gyms, concert venues, and nightclubs were all shut down in the city by the 17th of March, while restaurants were restricted to accepting takeout and delivery orders only. And by the 22nd of March, New York State issued their pause order that shut down all non-essential businesses across the whole state and enforced strict rules on social gatherings and distancing that remained in total effect for months until New York City began its phased reopening in June. But some elements of the restrictions still remained in effect in New York City for another year and were only gradually lifted as COVID conditions gradually improved until June of 2021. When New York's governor finally announced the immediate end of the remaining COVID restrictions that were still in place by then. Throughout all that time of absolute chaos in New York City between 2020 and 2021, the city suffered through one of its greatest ever historical tragedies. More than 45,000 people in the city died of the disease, while hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers were pushed into unemployment. As the city's unemployment rate skyrocketed to more than 16% by August of 2020, which was nearly twice the national average at the time. Thousands of businesses in the city were permanently shut down and have never returned since, with a significant number of them having been restaurants and bars. While certain crime rates in the city began surging as well. The New York City Police Department tracks 7 major felony charges together in its annual reports to keep track of overall crime trends in the city. And while some major crimes like murders have seen significant decreases since the start of the pandemic, other major crimes have seen significant increases in the city, especially in assaults, thefts, and grand theft autos. With 2023's assaults being the highest ever recorded in the city's entire publicly available history, going all the way back to the 1990s. With the overall crime rate in the city now remaining at its highest level ever since 2006. After years of a steady downward trend that ended the same year when the pandemic began. And because of all these myriad issues and problems that erupted in the city after 2020, droves of people simply decided to leave the city altogether to get themselves out. While tens of thousands more simply died, and other people stopped deciding to have as many children, which all contributed to New York City's unprecedented population losses that is recorded in 2021, in 2022, and again in 2023, that collectively reduced the city's population by more than 550,000 people from before, representing a net loss in the city's total population of approximately 6% in only 3 years. Part of the push of people out of New York City over the past 3 years have also been influenced by the rise of remote work in white-collar industries as well. If a highly compensated, fully remote worker in New York City could retain their high-paying job, they could simply move out of the city to anywhere else in the country and avoid New York's higher taxes and higher cost of living in the process. In 2023, a company called Smart Asset conducted a study that compared the true purchasing power of a high annual household income of $250,000 across the country that accounted for differences in overall tax burdens and costs of living, and found that the $250,000 income went the least far in all cities measured in New York City, where the true purchasing power of that income in reality amounted to only $82,421. If it was possible to keep the same income by working fully remotely, a household in New York City making that much could literally more than double their true purchasing power by relocating to other cities with lower taxes and lower cost of living in the Sun Belt, like Raleigh-Durham, Charlotte, Nashville, Atlanta, Orlando, Tampa, Houston, Austin, Dallas, Las Vegas, or Reno, so long as they were willing to give up all of the amenities in New York City that were practically shut down for a year between 2020 and 2021. Which for many remote New York City workers made the decision significantly easier. But even after the city's full reopening in mid-2021, the pull of increased purchasing power elsewhere among the city's most affluent and mobile has certainly remained strong. And since the top 2% of New Yorkers pay more than 51% of the state's total taxes, every one of them who leaves represents an outsized hit to the state's total tax revenue and operating budget. But high taxes are not the only factor that's still contributing to the city and state's population decline post-pandemic right now. And it's probably the weakest factor overall because there's actually very little evidence that significant numbers of wealthy residents have actually been leaving New York since the end of the pandemic. Another major issue is the state's own demographics working against it now. New York State has a significantly larger elderly population today than other states like Texas or California do. And New York is consistently losing more and more of these elderly residents to Florida, seemingly with every passing year. Not only because the weather down there is warmer, but because Florida also won't tax any of their retirement income the same way that New York State will. Of the people who moved out of New York State between 2021 and 2022, the single most popular destination for them was down to Florida, which saw over 91,000 New Yorkers make the migration, while the second most popular choice was simply to neighboring New Jersey, which saw another 75,000 New Yorkers make the move who were probably influenced by New Jersey's close proximity and still lower cost of living and taxes than in New York. And that gets us to what is almost without question the biggest single issue in New York City that's been pushing people out since the modern trend began around 2016. It's just increasingly gotten more and more outrageously unaffordable for the average, normal person to really justify. It's no surprise that New York City has pretty much always been a desirable and expensive place to live, and housing prices across the entire country have risen substantially over the past decade. But they haven't risen anywhere in America faster than they have in New York City. According to a recent report from the New York State Comptroller, in the decade between 2011 to 2012 and 2021 to 2022, housing costs in New York City rose by an astonishing 68%, more than in any other city in the country during that same time period. As of 2022 to 2023, the average New York City household was spending $30,000 a year on housing costs alone, equivalent to about 40% of the city's median household income. Nationwide, across the whole country, the rate is more like 34% of median income spent on housing by comparison, meaning that New Yorkers spend substantially more on their housing than most other Americans do. In real estate, there's a concept known as the price-to-income ratio that essentially measures how many years' worth of the local median household income it would take to equal the median-priced house. The higher the ratio, the more unaffordable the city is, and the lower the ratio, the more affordable it is. And New York City now has the fifth highest price-to-income ratio of all large cities in the entire country, and the highest one of any large city located outside of California, where it takes 9.8 years worth of the city's median household income to equal the city's median-priced house now. Other major cities in the United States, like Chicago, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Detroit, all have orders of magnitude more affordable housing than New York City does by this metric. And it's not just buying a property that's become insanely out of reach for most New Yorkers, but even renting one as well. As of 2024, New York City has the highest rental prices for a one-bedroom apartment of any city in the country, with an average monthly cost of about $4,200 now, which also saw among the highest rent increases in the country from 2023, at an 11% year-over-year increase, while other major cities like San Francisco, Miami, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C. all saw decreases in their rental prices over the same time period. Smart Asset recently released another study in March of 2024 that attempted to find the ideal salary required to live comfortably across 100 major American cities. The formula they used to figure this out took into account what's called the 50-30-20 budget for maximizing long-term sustainable comfort, which entails spending 50% of your salary on needs like housing, transportation, and groceries, 30% of your salary on things you want like hobbies, travel, or entertainment, and 20% of your salary reserved for paying off your debts or investing and saving. Then, after they took into account the local cost of living and taxes to this strategy, they came up with the ideal pre-tax salary required to live reasonably comfortably in all of these cities, and unsurprisingly, New York City came in at first place for the highest salary required in the country to be comfortable as a single adult, which they calculated currently requires an annual salary of about $138,000 to manage. As a single adult, the further behind you are from earning $138,000 a year, the more compromises you're going to have to make in order to live in New York City, whether it's finding roommates or reducing your savings or discretionary spending. And for a family of two adults and two children, the math is similarly pretty terrible, with a household income of about $318,000 a year being required just to live in the city comfortably, which would place your household within the top 5% in the city, and all just to live in relative comfort and not even really luxury. Perhaps unsurprisingly then, it's been found that as of late 2023, more than a third of rental tenants in New York City were spending more than half of their total incomes on rent alone. As a result, a ton of people who live in New York City that don't make this kind of money have simply looked at this math and determined that they would do better by simply leaving for elsewhere. According to a report released by the Fiscal Policy Institute in December of 2023, a left-leaning policy group, the demographic of people that left New York City the most in 2023 were families that earned between $32,000 and $65,000 a year, while the second largest demographic of people who left were those who earned between $104,000 and $172,000 a year. Basically, most of the people who have been leaving New York City since the pandemic began are not the wealthier retirees trying to escape from taxes, but the city's lower and middle classes whose incomes have not kept up with the city's skyrocketing living costs. And the biggest reason for this is a chronic shortage of housing in the city that has been far outstripped by demand for years now. Job growth in New York City has outpaced housing construction for virtually all of the past 40-plus years of the city's history ever since 1980. Between 2010 and 2021, for example, while the number of jobs increased in the city by 21%, the housing supply in the city only increased by a paltry 9% to match it through the same time period, leading to increased competition and prices for the undersupply of homes. Developers struggle to build affordable or even middle-class housing in New York City for a profit due to several factors now, But some of the biggest reasons include the fact that virtually all of Manhattan is already heavily built up and surrounded by water, with very few available areas left to significantly increase development further. While higher interest rates and construction material costs since the pandemic have only added to the cost of construction in the city even further. As a result, nearly all housing developments within New York City anymore are luxury housing, being built only for wealthier people since the costs and bureaucratic red tape associated with building any housing at all in the city have just become so steep, which means the developers have to sell them for higher prices just in order to make a profit. This is why just over the past few years, Texan cities with huge amounts of land and less regulations like Dallas, Houston, and even Austin have all individually permitted more housing construction in their cities than the entirety of New York State combined. Not more than New York City, but each of them has permitted more housing than literally the entire state of New York all put together. Which is a huge reason why rents and housing prices in major Texas cities are significantly lower than they are in New York. And so, largely as a result of New York City's crippling housing crisis, the wealth gap between the city's rich and poor has grown into more of a wealth chasm that has since become the greatest wealth divide seen anywhere in America. As of 2023, the wealthiest one-fifth of people living in Manhattan, the wealthiest borough of New York, earned a total of 53 times more money a year than the poorest one-fifth of Manhattan's residents did. An astonishing level of wealth inequality that appears to look more like developing countries rather than the nationwide average in America. And a big part of this is because, as New York City's lower and middle-class residents have begun increasingly leaving the city, new millionaire residents have been increasingly flocking to the city, especially after the end of the COVID-era lockdowns in 2021. A decade ago, back in 2013, roughly one in every 36 residents living in New York City was a millionaire. But fast forward a decade through to the end of 2023, and that ratio has significantly increased to more like 1 in every 24 residents in New York City being a millionaire or wealthier today, or about 350,000 millionaires or wealthier in the whole city. To put that into perspective, New York City has more millionaires today than in literally any other city in the world, and is therefore the site of the highest concentration of the global elite and their wealth on the planet. New York City's millionaire population alone is these days nearly the same size as the entire population of Cleveland, Ohio. And there are more millionaires who live in New York City than millionaires who live in America's next two largest cities combined, Los Angeles and Chicago. This trend can generally be observed by looking at the shifts in the populations of New York City's five separate boroughs over the past few years since 2020 as well. While the populations of the outer boroughs like Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island, and especially the Bronx have all been continually decreasing since the pandemic, the population in Manhattan, the wealthiest of the boroughs, has actually already returned back to growth again and experienced net gains in population in both 2022 and again in 2023. Though even Manhattan's population still remains about 97,000 people fewer than it was immediately before the start of the pandemic in 2020. Ultimately, this means that so long as New York City struggles to address its crippling housing shortage, the city is likely to continue losing lower and middle-class residents, while it continues to gain a smaller number of higher-income, wealthier residents. And that will continue affecting New York State's overall population for the negative for the likely foreseeable future, because as it stands right now, even after the stabilization of New York City's huge population losses that were incurred during the pandemic years, the normalization of New York State's population trend back to the mean appears to really suggest a return back to what was happening between 2016 and 2019, with 2023's statewide population loss remaining at 0.5%. and remaining the highest rate of population decline seen in the country. The data for the year of summer 2023 to summer of 2024 will be released near the end of this year, and so we'll very soon see how this trend is continuing, and if New York will indeed remain as the fastest shrinking state in the country. Now, there's a lot of data that goes into producing these kinds of videos. Whether it's visually showing you all of the counties in the United States by population growth rate since 2020, comparing how many people New York State has lost since 2020 compared to the state of Wyoming, or showing how most of New York State's population live on islands, the ability to actually visualize raw data like this instead of just reading about it in text format is exactly what makes learning about these kinds of things so incredibly fascinating to me. And it's why the Exploring Data Visually course is one of my favorite courses that I've ever taken with this video sponsor, Brilliant. Brilliant is where you learn by doing. with thousands of interactive lessons in subjects like math, data analysis, programming, and AI. And they don't just give you a mountain of text and then expect you to remember everything you just read. Instead, they use interactive exercises to teach you the intuitive principles. Then build these principles upon each other so that you can genuinely understand very complex subjects like data visualization and analysis, statistics, computer science, astrophysics, and tons of others. They really know how to teach for results, which is why Brilliant is perfect for the kind of person who wants to learn because they actually love learning, not because they're being forced to. And best of all, with their mobile app and smaller bite-sized course chunks, it's really possible to fit learning on Brilliant into any schedule, no matter how busy your day-to-day activities are. So, if you're the type of person who loves learning new things, you can try out everything Brilliant has to offer for free for a full 30 days by clicking the button here on your screen right now, or by visiting brilliant.org/reallifelore, or by clicking the link down below in the description. And best of all, you'll also get 20% off of an annual premium subscription when you do so. And as always, thank you so much for watching.